I believe in education, in equality. I believe in risking one's own safety to further a noble cause. I believe in courage. But you would know none of that by looking at my epitaph. All it simply says is Mona Parsons, wife of. Had I had my own way, it would say Mona Parsons, actress, nurse, showgirl, resistance fighter. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start at the beginning. My name is Mona Parsons, and I was born down the valley in Middleton in 1901. My family moved to Wolfville, and I studied at the Lady Seminary House. And it was here that I developed a love of acting, which I pursued by moving to New York City, where I became a Ziegfeld showgirl. The costumes, the lights, the music, how I loved it. But it was short-lived, as these things usually are. And so I moved to Jersey City, where I studied to become a nurse. And it was here that I met my husband, Willem Leonhardt, whose family owned a large plumbing fixture company in Holland. Willem and I fell fast in love, and we were married in September of 1937. We enjoyed an extended honeymoon traveling around the Italian and French Rivieras in his Jaguar. We built our home in Laren, just outside of Amsterdam. However, in 1940, the Nazis invaded Holland, and our lives changed forever. Willem and I became part of an underground resistance. Our home became a secret safe house for gunned-down Alliance airmen. We were betrayed, though. One morning, I came home to find the Gestapo on my doorstep, and they arrested me. And Willem, too, I later found out. They questioned me, and while they were skilled, I told them nothing. For 3 months, I was held in confinement and beaten, but still, I told them nothing. Until one day, I was led before a panel of judges and read my sentence. Death by firing squad. I didn't cry or beg for my life. I simply held my head high and said, "Guten Tag, gentlemen, good day." Was it courage or bravery they saw there? I don't know. But it moved one of them to speak. He said, "Miss Parsons, you should appeal your case." And so I did. And it was reduced to life imprisonment. So I was moved to Vechta prison, a working prison. But here I found a friend, and a Dutch baroness, Wendelum von Bolitzer, a strong, brave, intelligent woman. We became fast friends, and we vowed to escape just as soon as the opportunity arose. But now, like I said, Vechta was a working prison, and so we were set to work. My job was to repair the igniters for the charges that would blow up bridges. All I had to do each day was simply snip the ends of 17,000 wires. Not a hard job, but one I was soon removed from. They said something about shoddy work and sabotage. I assured them I had no idea what they were talking about. So I was moved to sock detail. Day in and day out, I would mend hundreds and hundreds of German socks. I can tell you this much. They weren't wires, but I sewed as many hard, uncomfortable little knots into those socks as I could possibly get away with. Then finally, one day, fate smiled upon Wendelum and I. The Allies bombed the men's side of our prison, and our warden, she led us out into the courtyard, and she threw open the gates, and she said, "You can take your chances in here with the Allied bombs, or out there with the German bullets." Wendelum and I ran. We ran, and we escaped. But we found ourselves with no papers, no food, barely any clothes, and deep in German territory. And while Wendelum spoke fluent German, everything I spoke with a thick Canadian accent. So we devised a plan. We'd be two relatives, our papers lost, trying to find our way back to our family. Wendelum, my niece, would be taking care of me, her aunt, who had a cleft palate, a speech impediment. This was our plan, to rely on her German and my acting abilities. I can tell you, it was the role of my lifetime. And much to our surprise, it worked. For weeks, we traveled under this disguise, and before we knew it, we found ourselves at the Allied borders. Now here we became separated, but I had allowed myself to be captured, and in whose company do I find myself but the northern Nova Scotian Highlanders? I'm Canadian, I tell them, I'm Nova Scotian. They don't believe me. They think I'm a German spy. I tell them my story. They still don't believe me. Who would? It sounds impossible to my own ears, but I tell it to them anyways. I tell it to them until I'm interrupted from behind. Mona? Mona Parsons? I turn around and standing in front of me is Captain Kelly White and Captain Vincent McLean, two gentlemen whom I'd gone to Acadia with. I couldn't believe my eyes, nor could they, but they vouched for my identity and I was finally safe. Willem and I were reunited shortly after this, but the war had taken a much greater toll on him than on me, and he passed away just a few short years later. I remarried, of course, an old family friend, Major General Harry Foster, as in Mona Parsons, wife of. Harry and I moved back here to Wolfville. We lived just down on Main Street, number 646, and it was there that I stayed until my own passing in 1976. I received citations from General Eisenhower for my contribution to the war, And my picture still hangs down at the Legion where the boys stop in to say hello every once in a while. But you can see how wife of does not really tell my full tale. I mean, for goodness sake, the man whose wife I am isn't even buried here. Harry is down in Kentville with his first wife. So it does my heart good to know that you're all out there listening tonight. For you see, my history is your history. And I guess you have to live through a world war to fully understand the sacrifices you must make and the courage you must have. But then again, courage presents itself in many different ways and forms. And who knows? Some might say you've all proven your courage tonight.